Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
Hey, well, good evening. Hey, everyone. I hope you're doing well. My name is Cookie. If I've not said hey to you before, hello. I'm so glad that you're here this evening. Hey, we're wrapping up our series on real relationships, where as a church, we've been exploring how we can have healthy relationships with everyone around us. And today we're going to be exploring the ways that we can commit to long-standing relationships, relationships that can survive the different seasons, the ups and downs of life. But first, we would love to share Janet and Marie's story with you all. Now, for those of you who don't know Janet and Marie, they are two incredibly spirit-filled people at, you know, at the core of our church community. They're both women who live lives committed to the call to ministry, to the community, to singleness, but as we're about to hear, to friendship as well, a friendship that has lasted between them over 25 years. And so their friendship teaches us that deep, lasting relationships don't grow only through convenience, but through a shared calling and faithfulness both to God and the people around us. And so why don't you turn your eyes to the screen and we're going to hear from them both now.
Janet and Marie, can you tell us briefly about your friendship?
Yeah, well, we've been friends for many years. We were both part of the same church, but living in different church houses. And I was cooking in the house for the people that lived there. So I'd be in the kitchen every evening. And Marie would come down from the school where she'd been teaching. And we'd just chat about our day like you just do, don't you?
Yes.
And a cup of tea. And that's really how our friendship started off. It was quite a long time ago, though.
It was, yeah.
It was. We were in our mid-20s, shall we say.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that drew us was that we had a vision to live for Jesus, you know, wanting to be all out for Jesus, wanting to encourage one another. So we'd often share things that we were going through, pray for one another.
Yeah.
And over, we were part of the same church for many years, but over time we moved to different areas because we were church planting in different areas. But all the time we would keep in contact.
Yeah.
And I remember one particular time when I was going through a very, very difficult time, phoning up Janet and just crying on the phone, you know, just having somebody there to talk to. And then I moved to Birmingham some years ago, and quite after a while, Janet came to join me because she felt that's what God was saying. But feeling that oneness of heart and vision.
Yeah. That's awesome. And what would you say are some of the joys and blessings of having such a long-standing friendship?
Actually, being known is quite special, you know, so that you can trust yourself to somebody else, that they know the good and the bad, you know, the ups and the downs. That's really precious, actually. And I think it's something that's often overlooked in society these days.
Yeah, I think knowing that somebody believes in you and still loves you, even though they know the worst about you, that is amazing. But the fact that you can pray together and that unites you. But also having, I think, somebody there that you can sound ideas on, you can talk together about, and you can share the joys of daily life, but also seeing what God is doing and in other people. And I think sharing joys and laughter together is very precious. But I think it's often going through the difficult times and learning to trust, learning to be open and to believe in one another and encourage one another.
Yeah. And what would you say have been some of the challenges within the friendship?
Well, challenges because we're different. You know, Marie's strengths and my strengths are very different, but we can work together. Excuse me. We can work together in a partnership and it makes things happen. But because although we're different, Jesus is at the centre, you know, and our vision is to share Jesus with other people.
Yeah, I mean, we are different. I'm a a big picture person, you know, see the big picture of things. Janet is a very much a detailed person. And actually, she's brilliant at logistics and looking through exactly what something entails and sometimes sort of saying, slow me down, you know, which can be, you know, a bit of a challenge. But that's good, you know, and I think appreciate the differences, not trying to make each other the same. But to see that we can complement one another as well.
Yeah.
I remember for many years thinking, oh, I'm not like Marie. I can't preach, I can't speak, I can't. Because I'm much more practical, as she says. But then I remember reading about, is his name Bezalel? In the Old Testament?
Yes.
And I thought, oh, God really likes people who are practical. You know, so that gave me a lot of confidence not to put myself down.
Yeah.
You know, I was equally valued. My skills were just different and my giftings.
And actually, I couldn't, I mean, we've been working now with Iranian people for quite a long time.
25
years. Yeah, 25 years, which wasn't something we looked for, but God brought us into, and people coming in, meeting people. But actually, Janet's ministry of hospitality and food has been central to that. And I certainly couldn't have done that without Janet, because that really was a way that people felt secure, drawn in. And so I think God uses all of these different skills. We need one another. We're part of a family.
I love that. And what advice would you give to anyone who is hoping to stay committed to a friendship through thick and thin?
I think make sure Jesus is at the center. Make sure you spend time together, not just ministering together, but you actually spend time together as two people. And whether you do something silly or relaxing or have a laugh together, it doesn't matter. But quality time just as the two of you is really important.
Yeah, and I think listening to one another, because listening releases you to be able to share your burdens, your concerns, your fears, or whatever. And being able to say sorry. You know, to deal with things quickly as they come up and to say sorry and accept when I'm wrong or I've made a mistake. And I think
and
also...
when we've hurt each other and we don't know, to get that sorted out as well.
Yeah, it's quite easy, isn't it, when you're living close to somebody that you hurt each other unintentionally or upset each other and you're not really aware of it. And I think to have a heart that says, I want to bring the best out in my friend rather than worrying about me. It's not about me. It's about how can I help my friend to become the best that they are and to encourage them and to value them.
Awesome. So have a go, everybody.
Amen.
Pick a friend and go for it.
Thank you.
Amazing. I love Janet and Marie, and I love how they've chosen to stay committed to one another over the years through the different seasons and challenges. And there's so much that we could probably pull out about how to do long-standing friendships well, but one of the things that I really want to zone in on tonight is how their friendship isn't built on comfort, but at times has actually been quite sacrificial. They've had some uncomforts that they've had to push through over the years. And that's what I want to dig a little deeper into today. How, if we want to have relationships that last over time, one key is to be people who choose commitment over comfort. Now, around 5 weeks ago, I was on my way to work, right? I work, it's like a 15-minute walk from my house. And I'm halfway there, like listening to my music, and all of a sudden I just trip. I hear this popping sound, my ankle goes like this, and I'm on the ground. Now, the first pain that came was in my heart because I was so embarrassed that I hit the ground that way, okay? Like, my headphones went this way, my bag was over here, and the first thing that I thought was, Cookie, get up, sis. Like, you need to get off this ground. You are in the middle of Birmingham. It is rush. Get up. And you know those times when you kind of like hit your toe and the life leaves you and then like after 10 seconds, it comes back. I thought it was a bit like that. So I waited But then, like, after 30 seconds, the pain's still there. After a minute, 2 minutes, and I realize, yeah, it's game over. Like, I am on this ground. And so, like, everyone's rushing past me, jumping over me, skipping over me, trying to get to work. When all of a sudden, this one man, he just stops. And he's like, hey, like, are you okay? And I'm like, not really. But at that time, I'd called Zoe, my sister, who lived like 2 minutes away but was taking her sweet time. And I was like, listen, my sister's coming. She's going to take me to A&E any minute now. It wasn't a minute now. But anyway, he's like, look, I don't want to impose myself, but like, do you mind if I stay with you? Like, I would want someone to stay with me. And he's like, look, my wife's done something similar. Here's some paracetamol from Sainsbury's. Here's some water to take it. And guys, he gave me his water bottle. Like, this isn't Buxton water bottle yet. Like, his water bottle. Do you know how much pain you have to be in to drink from a stranger's water bottle? Like, this was dire. But anyway, I'm there, we're there, and he's like, do you know what? Like, this is a bit awkward. I'm going to sit beside you. So now we're both on the pavement. And he's telling me stories about his wife, his kids, just to kind of distract me from the pain. And I kept telling him, like, you know, don't worry, you can go. Like, it's fine. Like, I don't want to inconvenience you. And he's like, no, I'm going to stay. And he waited up until Zoe eventually arrived. And then he went on his way. Now, I was blown away by how that man stayed with me that morning. Like, he didn't know me. It was awkward, uncomfortable at times, but he chose to stay when so many other people in the middle of Birmingham were jumping over me. And I remember being shocked because he owed me nothing. He didn't have to do any of it. But I'm grateful because that experience highlighted something to me. It highlighted that it can be so easy in relationships to choose comfort. It's easy to protect our time, our space, our convenience, but real commitment, it often asks something of us. It asks us to show up even when it costs something. It asks us sometimes to be a bit uncomfortable. And that's the journey that we're going to go on today, how to be people that stay committed despite the uncomforts that sometimes we may have to face in relationships. And to help us do that, we're going to open up the Word and unpack the friendship of two women in the Bible called Naomi and Ruth, which we find in Ruth chapter 1, and we're going to pick up from verse 3. But before we do, for context, originally Naomi, her husband, and two sons, they live in Bethlehem. But there's a famine in Bethlehem, like widespread food shortages. So they decide to move to the land of Moab for some relief. And they stay there for some time. And we're going to pick up in verse 3, which says, now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. Now, after they'd lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. She left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. And as they're on their way, Naomi says to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you find rest in the home of another husband. And then she kisses them goodbye, but they weep aloud and say to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me. And at this, they wept aloud again. And then Orpah kisses her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Now here we see Naomi in so much pain. She's lost her husband, her two sons, and she's heading back home to a place that she thought they would all be returning to together. But now she's going back alone. And so Ruth, so strongly committing to stay with Naomi, is a beautiful example of faithfulness, but it cost her. She had to sacrifice some comforts. For example, she had to choose commitment over the comfort of familiarity and community. Yes, the community she left, the practices, cultural norms, traditions, but also the safety she probably had found in Orpah, her sister-in-law. I can imagine Orpah turning back being really tough for Ruth. Orpah was probably the one person who could truly understand the pain that she'd endured. Orpah would have fully understood the grief of losing a husband so young and was probably the closest link to Ruth in that moment, and yet she was leaving. But Ruth stays. Ruth also chooses commitment over the comfort of provision. In Naomi and Ruth's day, to have no children and no husband would have left them extremely disadvantaged. They would have had to rely on the generosity of strangers just to get by. And that's why in verse 12, when Naomi's saying, I can't give you another husband, what she's saying is, I don't have a way of providing for you in the way that you need. Go back to the people who understand your circumstance and will look after you. And yet, Ruth stays. Ruth's commitment to Naomi was not comfortable. It was costly. And if we're going to be people that have relationships with those around us that last over time, we have to be aware that it's not going to be easy. So why do it? Why not just quit when commitment gets uncomfortable or difficult? Well, because so often on the other side is deep relationship and lasting fruit. In Ruth's story, yes, she did have to sacrifice, but it was so worth it. How do I know? Well, spoiler, if you continue on into the book of Ruth, they make it to Bethlehem. And Ruth meets a man named Boaz who is so generous to Ruth and Naomi, and they get married and have a son named Obed, which is incredible. But that's not all God wanted to do. Because when we skip forward to the first page of the New Testament, we find Jesus' family tree, and Ruth, Boaz, and their son Obed, they're included. And that tells me that Ruth's commitment to Naomi just didn't lead her to Boaz. Her choice to stay, to love, to serve, to go where Naomi went despite the comfort she had to sacrifice, it became part of the redemptive thread that led all the way to Jesus. And so Ruth's courage to choose commitment over comfort, it may have looked insignificant at the time, but it had eternal impact. And that's the power of commitment. It can go way beyond us, sometimes even beyond our lifetime, into God's eternal purposes. But let's be real, it feels deeply countercultural to today. Because we live in a world that glorifies personal freedom and comfort. We're taught to protect ourselves, to look after ours, to keep our options open, to walk away when things get hard. And it's hard to choose commitment when challenges arise, and we can't do it using our own strength. But the good news is, this evening, we don't have to. You see, faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, and so the ability to be committed people is something that the Spirit enables us to do. It's something that God forms in us, not something that we have to manufacture on our own. And so if we want relationships that go the distance, whether in friendships, families, communities, we can't sustain them in our own strength. It's only by the Spirit's power. And like Janet and Marie shared, you can't do long-term, life-giving relationship in all of its fullness without the Lord at the center of it. And the Holy Spirit's the one who enables us to do so, but in what way? How? Well, the Holy Spirit, he enables us to be committed despite hardship. See, long-term relationships with our siblings, parents, friends, whoever, even the good ones, despite the incredible highs, will eventually get a bit tough. And this is because relationships, they're made up of people. And people are not perfect. They're a little bit messy. And sometimes in relationships that we've journeyed over time, we have to face hard things like unmet expectation, where we feel like because they know us so well, they should have known better, better than to do the thing that they did to us. Or maybe broken promises, maybe a parent that said that they would be there for you and didn't show up in the ways that you needed. Or you relied on a friend and they didn't pull through on what they said and it had serious consequences. Or maybe hard looks like betrayal. Maybe you expected someone to be loyal to you, but they chose someone else over you. They lied to you or about you, or they hid something from you. Real relationships, they can be stretching at times, even painful. But it's in those moments when comfort disappears that we need something deeper to hold us, and that is commitment. But God knows that it's hard. In Psalm 15, verse 1, the psalmist says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? And one of the answers in verse 4 is the one who keeps an oath, even when it hurts. That's commitment over comfort, staying true to your word, showing up in love, even when it costs you something. But here's the tension that we have to wrestle with. Does hard always mean holy? Are we meant to stay through every single kind of discomfort or pain? The answer is no. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because it's he who helps us to commit to the things that are hard, not the things that are harmful. Harmful, like relationships where there's physical harm or emotional harm, manipulation or control. If you're experiencing that, please hear me clearly. It's okay to go and seek help. You're not being disloyal by bringing other people into what you're going through. Romans 12, verse 18 says, if it is possible, live at peace with everyone. And to me, there's so many instances in the Bible where it acknowledges that sometimes it's not possible to stay in close proximity with others. And in those cases, walking away might be the thing to commit to. But I want to be real, like if you're experiencing harm in a relationship, as brave as it might feel today, would you consider letting someone in? You can grab someone wearing a black lanyard. They'll point you in the right direction of our pastoral care team. There are people to walk this out with you. But bring someone in. So how do we tell the difference between hard we're meant to go through and harm that we're meant to leave behind? I think the key is discernment. Being able to tell the difference between what's right, what's wrong, what's wise, what's unwise, especially when it's not really clear. And a question we might want to ask is this discomfort a part of my growth or is it destructive? Now, sometimes the answer to that question is just really obvious, but other times we need more than our own perspective because of our past pains, fears, histories that cloud our judgment. That's where we need wisdom. Wisdom from God who speaks to us, but also wisdom from people around us, trusted people who can spot our blind spots, speak from experience, encourage us to persevere, but who can also give us permission to let go of the things that God never asked us to carry. The Holy Spirit gives us the wisdom to know when commitment is holy, even when it's hard, and the freedom to let go of what's harmful, even when it's become a little bit familiar. The Holy Spirit also helps us to be committed despite our differences. One of the most subtle comforts we cling into in relationships is clinging to people that are similar to us. Like it feels good to be around people who look like us, think like us, act like us. And these preferences, they're not necessarily a bad thing, but if we're not careful, they can become comfort blankets that make us pull back from people that have different perspectives or worldviews. Now, I love how Janet and Marie shared that a huge factor in their long-standing relationship is the fact that they're different and that that's been impactful for them. Now, many, many years ago, I did the Gas Street Academy, which is our church's internship. And I'd been away from church for like a year and a half. And I don't know why, when I first found Gas Street, I thought a good thing to do would be to plug in and do a year internship with them, despite all the hurt that I'd carried. But I did it, and God was in it. And I'll never forget our very first staff meeting. It was on Zoom because it was COVID. And we're on this call and it's going well. I'm like, yeah, this seems like the church for me. And then all of a sudden it turned a little bit sour. And some staff members weren't very happy about something and they were passionately expressing it on this call. And I remember being shocked, like space was being held for them to do that. Like, what is going on? Because from my past experience, I was taught disagreeing is dishonoring. Commitment looks like agreement in all things. And so when the call ended, I was kind of triggered because of my own hurt. And I was like, yep, I need to get out of this church. There's too much chaos for me. But I stayed. And over time, I actually learned that it was such a mark of health. That actually to hold space for differing views, for people to feel free to express themselves was actually a good thing. And that their difference of opinion didn't take away from their commitment. And you know what? Here's the tea. Two of the staff members that were the most upset are actually still here many, many, many years later. And I say that not just to kind of spark curiosity, but because it really preached to me that despite their differences, they've been so committed for so long. Look, when Ruth says, where you go, I will go, your people will be my people, Ruth isn't denying her identity. She's laying down her comfort. She wasn't conforming, she was being loving. It was Ruth saying, hey, I might not come from your world, Naomi, but I'm choosing to stand with you in it. Real commitment in relationships doesn't require us to strip away who we are, but it does call us to make space for others. It says, I don't have to fully understand your experience, but I value it. I might not feel totally comfortable with your people, but if they matter to you, they matter to me. And I'm not going to try and change you. I might not always agree with you, but I'll walk with you, I'll cover you. And like Janet and Marie said, I'm even going to compliment you where I can. But that can be hard. Look, when I was preparing for this message, I had the sense that some of you might be really hesitant to commit specifically to church communities because you're afraid of losing yourself. Like you fear that commitment will mean conforming. And maybe in past spaces it did. And if that's your story, I'm sorry, like that's not God's design. His church isn't a brand, it's a body that's made up of many parts, many backgrounds, many perspectives with Jesus at the center. And some of you here today know that God is moving in this community, like you felt his presence, you've received confirmation, but still commitment feels costly. But I feel like the Lord's saying, you can bring you here, you're needed here. But God sees the concern, he sees the pain, and he wants to bring healing so that you can be fully present, fully yourself, and still committed. Commitment doesn't erase us, but it teaches us how to prefer one another. And yes, that is countercultural, and it does take the Holy Spirit. But in a world that's so divided and so fragmented, what a powerful example the church becomes when we say, I'm going to choose to stay. I'm going to choose to see Christ in you, even if you're different from me. Because in the end, Revelation tells us that every tribe and tongue and nation, every different type of people will worship around the throne. And commitment in our relationships, despite differences, is a signpost to that. The Holy Spirit also helps us to be committed despite uncertainty. Look, one of the most courageous things about Ruth's story is that she committed without knowing what was ahead. Like she didn't have a 5-year plan, a safety net, a guarantee of success. In fact, the opposite. Naomi had made it clear that this was going to be a really, really tough journey ahead. So where did Ruth get the courage to stay? Well, we're not explicitly told, but to me, it looks like maybe Ruth had encountered something in Naomi's life. Could it be Naomi's God, the one true God, that made her believe, even if I don't know where I'm going, if he's in it, I'll go with her. Now, I remember in the month leading up to getting married a few years ago, there was a woman at work that I'm not really the closest to, but she kept telling me, don't go through with it. She felt, guys, it was every day for like a month. She felt I was too young. She thought I hadn't lived enough. She thought I was rushing into something that I didn't know the outcome of. And yes, we take counsel from people, but I would say that this woman was speaking through the lens of her own hurt and not really having my back. And I had grace for that. But that's my husband there. But the week before my wedding, she was giving me the same speech. Look, girl, if you need to run out the altar, it's fine, you can do that. And I just remember a colleague, a friend of mine, cutting her off and saying, leave her alone. Like, if she trusts this guy, she should go for it. And sometimes we want to calculate every outcome, every possibility before committing fully in our relationships. Sometimes our past experience makes us want to be extra, extra sure to have full control. But maybe the Lord is saying today, if you trust him, just go for it. Now in Ruth's story, we see a commitment without her having to know every detail ahead. But faithfulness doesn't mean foolishness. Without wisdom and discernment like we've shared, actually committing in those instances where it's a bit unclear sometimes can be a little dysfunctional. But there are times, like in Ruth's case, where God is leading us into the unknown. And maybe today you're saying, hey, God, I need to know what will happen if I commit to this person or these people. And yet the Spirit of God might be saying, hey, you don't commit anyway. I feel the Lord asking us in our relationships, will we trust him in the unknown? Will we obey even when we don't understand? Will we commit even when the lack of control is uncomfortable? Hey, maybe the band could jump up. But what happens if we're all of those things, if we're discerning, devoted, and committed without guarantee, but the other person or people are not committed to us? What if we've pushed through the pain and the hard times, have embraced their differences, have trusted even when it's uncertain, and yet the other side hasn't or doesn't want to do the same? That's painful, that feeling of rejection. It can leave us feeling isolated, alone, not good enough. And so many of us don't want to commit to relationships just because we're trying to avoid that uncomfort of rejection. See, rejection has a way of shaping how we show up in relations, sometimes without even us realizing it. But the faithfulness of God wants to cut through that. Because he is not just committed when we're doing well. He's committed in our weakness, in our mess, in our failure, in our lowest moments. God's commitment to us isn't conditional or performance-based. It's unshakable. It's completely rooted in who he is, not what we've done. And so we don't have to fear rejection because God already knows everything about us and he still chooses us. He doesn't walk away when we disappoint, he stays. And let's be honest, some of our deepest wounds that we carry are from unfaithfulness. From where people who said they stay left, or people said they'd protect us, but they exposed us. Or there's times where people said they loved us, but they used us instead. Look, some of us have built our whole relational approach, the way we do life, just trying to avoid that pain. But here's the truth. Jesus took all of that, every betrayal, every abandonment, every broken promise, and he carried it to the cross. He didn't just deal with our sins, but he dealt with every sin committed against us. He took on the shame, the sorrow, and the sting of being let down, and he conquered it. On the cross, Jesus dealt with every single wound caused by unfaithfulness. He took it all on himself so that it wouldn't have the final say over our lives anymore. That was the ultimate commitment over comfort. And why did he do it? Because he was determined that nothing would separate us from his love. And so what does that mean for us? It means that we can love again. It means that we can trust again. It means that we can commit again, not because people will never leave us, but because God never will. And even when others have walked away, his presence remains. And even when others have let go, his grip holds us firm.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gasstreet.org, or follow us on Instagram @gasstreetchurch.